I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we have a very special show for you this week. We have a THP Florida golf outing recap. We have a contest finalist update on our What's for Dinner contest. And we have a very special guest in the form of Tim Gillis from Miyazaki Shafts here to answer questions specifically from the THP forum. Before we get into all that, I want to kind of talk about the contest we did last week on the radio. And it was about what's for dinner, and Golfer Gal and myself kind of going back and forth on the fact that we can't agree what to cook. So we left it up to you guys to decide. And we got a ton of entries, and we've narrowed it down to five finalists. And we're going to cook those this week, but I'm going to let Golfer Gal read off the finalists and welcome everybody to the show.
First, let me say hello to everybody. We had a ton of entries, which was really exciting. And you know, the two of us had to go through and pick out which ones we liked the best. And some of you had to get eliminated because you didn't listen to the rules and there was nothing healthy. It was like all bacon all the time. And I know that JB would be really happy about that, but we need a little less bacon, a little more salad.
There's no such thing as a little less bacon, and there's very bad things and a little more salad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyhow, here are the five finalists. I will announce the forum name or tag name that they used, and then the title of the recipe. One is from a gentleman who goes by Young Money, and his recipe is a simple steak salad, and it sounds delicious, so I'm really excited to make this one because it has the salad for me and the meat for him.
Can we just make it a steak and eliminate the salad part?
No. It's a package deal. The second one comes from Hawk 308, and he was actually a chef for 10 years, so this one better be good. This is
At least that's what he tells us in the email. We don't really know if he was a chef, but we're going to take his word for
it. Yeah, we'll take his word for it. So this one is linguine with chicken and spring vegetables in a basil broth, and anything with pasta makes me happy. Not sure how he's going to feel about the vegetables, because I think he thinks that anything that is a vegetable or green is the devil or something.
No, I like money quite a bit.
Okay, that's true. Good point there. The next one comes from John Hoflick. I can't believe he entered, but he didn't. He had a great recipe. It's chicken and pepper in a vinegar sauce, and specifically a balsamic vinegar, which I'm very happy about because I like balsamic. And the rest of the ingredients sounded really great. It's something I think JB will definitely like.
So we have a famous club maker.
Yes.
Listening to our show,
yes.
Entering our contest. If he wins, can we send him a club he actually made?
I don't really think he'd want that, but sure.
I don't know. It could, you know.
You know what we should do? We should sign it. I'm sure it'd be worth something then.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we might just ruin one of his clubs
probably.
By doing so. But I will say his recipe did look good, and it was nice to have an entry from him.
Yeah, absolutely. He actually had a dessert with it, too, for a strawberry shortcake, so we might have to try that as well. But that was not necessary. You just needed to have the main dish. Another one comes from Claire and she has a sweet and sour stew. Normally, I'm not a big fan of sweet and sour, but I liked the ingredients in here, so I'm intrigued to see how they taste together. Plus, it could be cooked in a crock pot, which I'm not normally really good with, but I'm going to try.
Those crock pots, when you got to turn it on and put your ingredients on, are real tough.
Listen, I'm the only person who can burn something in a crock pot. I just don't use enough liquid, or I use too much. I don't know, but it always ends up burning, so... crock pots are not my thing. The final one comes from a guy named R. Belbin. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And he came up with probably the one I think we're going to like the best, but we'll see. And it's pad thai, because both of us love pad thai.
We really do. Yeah. And like Golfer Gal said, there were a lot of entries for
this. So many entries.
And we were thrilled and honored that you guys took the time to put recipes together for us. And we really are... starting Sunday night, going to try five of each one of these dishes each night. We'll take pictures. We'll put them up in the THP forum.
Yep.
And then the winner will get a pretty cool THP prize
we'll
picked out.
We'll make it worth it, because if it's something we can put into our regular weekly menu, I'll be really excited about that. And I was kind of...
You know what I make for dinner that's my best dish?
What?
Reservations.
You do that very well. You're absolutely right about that. I was just so surprised at how many people did enter. I was worried that us rambling about food was going to make people sick and not want to listen to the show, but people were really excited about it.
Yeah, it was fun, and we had fun with it.
Yeah.
And kind of segueing into the THP Florida outing that just wrapped up, they
yes.
were talking about it while on the driving range demoing clubs, and that's always nice to hear.
They were, and they all had my back because they saw him eating, and they saw what he eats, and they said, you know, we heard you talk about how poorly his eating habits, or how poorly he eats, or how bad his eating habits are, and they didn't quite believe me till they saw it, and they said, it's worse than I described.
By the way, we ate dinner with those people, right?
Yes.
On multiple occasions.
Yes.
Did you see any of them order a side of tofu?
Actually, I saw one person order a tuna salad.
Yeah, mixed with mayonnaise.
No.
You know what
I remember? It was a tuna steak on salad.
I remember everybody eating cheeseburgers, upset that they were just hamburgers with no cheese.
Listen.
And drinking a beer tower.
But they were on vacation.
Yeah, I'm on vacation.
Every day's a vacation, I know.
Switching gears to the THP Florida outing, it just wrapped up, and we had so much fun. We want to thank everybody that came down. It was our honor to host you.
It really was.
We hope you had a great time.
As we definitely had a great time. We're still talking about it.
And we have something really, really special planned as we do our second outing in the fall.
Yep. We've been making lots of phone calls, and we've got some really great things planned for everybody. And once we give out the details, I think that we probably have a real good turnout, I hope.
Yeah, we really think that this is going to be something special. We're working hard with a couple of different places to try to narrow down exactly where we're doing it and what we have planned. But we expect that you guys, if you had a good time this time, and judging by the feedback on the forum, we think you did. We think that this one could actually perhaps blow your mind.
And we want to thank all the companies, too, who supplied all of the products, because we couldn't have done this without them. And it was just fantastic. I don't even know what else to say.
Absolutely. You know, it's a very rare opportunity for general consumers to get their hands on a lot of these products.
Absolutely.
Never mind the fact to get to try them without not just hitting into a net and taking them out on the course and everything else.
And freely doing it without the sales reps kind of breathing down their neck, which they do a great job with. But sometimes people get really nervous and they feel a little pressure. And
that's the biggest part that you're kind of talking about is, you know, a lot of the people who are out there are beginner or beginner to intermediate golfers. Mm-hmm. And something that our site believes in is it doesn't matter your skill level, scratch golfer or not scratch golfer. We want people to have an equal opportunity to hit the stuff without the pressure. And a lot of people feel that pressure and they kind of shy away from demo days because of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we plan on bringing these to you twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe down the road, hopefully more.
Yeah, absolutely.
But definitely twice a year. And we think that it'll be a good thing for a long time to come. Now, speaking of the demo days, one of the big hits of the outing
literally
was the Miyazaki
and
golf
figuratively.
Shaft. What's that?
I said literally and figuratively.
Correct. Was the Miyazaki golf shaft. And I've been raving about it since we got to try it out before the PGA show this year.
Yes, you have.
And I don't think people quite believed me when I said it was the best I'd ever tried.
I don't think they did. I don't think that people really noticed too much of a difference in shafts before. But after the article in the magazine and then being able to test it out on the course during the demo day,
yeah, I think that people, when they were on the monitor and saw and felt and really just saw the performance overall, they were hooked. We saw two people that were doing cartwheels.
Yeah, and it's funny. They didn't even need to look at the monitor. They could just see their shot and know just how much better it looked, how much better it felt, how much better the club felt in their hands. They just kept talking about it over and over again.
That's exactly right. So what we did is, you know, everybody's still a little confused about shafts, even with the article that we know helped a lot of people. We know that some people still had questions, you know, where to get fit, what to do, this and that.
Sure.
We're not experts.
No, I'm far from an expert when it comes to that.
I pretend I'm one on TV, but outside of that, we're really not experts. But thankfully, THP has friends in the right places and knows people who are.
Yes.
So we wanted to bring in the guy behind Miyazaki Shafts and the expert of Miyazaki Shafts.
The genius is more like it.
To come in and help our readers and listeners out.
Yes.
So why don't you kind of tell them what we did. We asked people to submit questions.
Right. We asked people to submit questions on the forum on our website to see if they had any questions for Tim Gillis and to see if he could probably answer or help fix the confusion of what some people have. And we took those questions and we could only take a select few because people had so many questions. And we went ahead and we asked him about them. And the man is so smart. He just knows so much. And I swear every single time I talk to him, I learn something new.
Well, and so with that, I think it's time that rather than us blathering along about shafts and everything else, why don't we welcome in Tim Gillis to In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal and let him start answering these questions.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't want to hear us talk anymore.
You got that right. So, Tim, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Josh and Golfer Gal. How are things?
Things are going well. Like we just mentioned, we just finished the THP Florida golf outing, and people had a chance to try out a few of the Miyazaki golf shafts. And I know that's not really the way you guys envision it. You'd like to do proper fittings, as we want to do for everybody else. But people were coming away really impressed.
I'm glad to hear that. I think there's a lot to it. So gladly take the opportunity to say thank you for seeding people and letting them hit it and see what's going on with that shaft.
Well, as most of our listeners saw in the Spring Magazine, we had an interview with you where you answered some of the questions that have been burning in people's minds for a long time on golf shafts. And we kind of, right after that article, we were kind of inundated with follow-up questions. So we thought it was the perfect time to bring you in and let those people ask you their questions via us and get right down to it.
Great.
I will start off, and the first question is from forum member Hawk308. And he says, how would you recommend a higher handicapped player with limited shaft fitting resources go about getting fit? I really don't trust the guy at Dick's Sporting Goods to pick out a shaft for me. Should I get my swing speed info and everything else and contact the company, or what should I do?
Well, you can do some of that. I think as much as anything else, probably for somebody with limited resources, you're almost better off to try and go somewhere and get a few demo clubs and go out and hit those demo clubs and find which one performs best for you. As we've talked in the past, there's a lot of, I'm going to say, confusing information out there that, just for an example, a 61-gram shaft with somebody in a stiff flex compared to the next one could be very similar, but also could be very different from each other, even though they have some common nomenclature. So for somebody with limited resources that doesn't necessarily trust that situation, I would suggest getting a half a dozen demo clubs from a local retailer, you know, maybe even a Galaxy, and going out and doing a self-evaluation. The thing that you have to be real careful with, again, Josh, and I think we talked about it in the magazine, is swing speed can be accurate, but it's not the most accurate way to fit somebody with a shaft.
Golfer Gal, why don't you bring on question number two?
All right. The second question comes from forum member Thanks1974, and he wanted to know, how would you know that a shaft isn't right for you?
Well, a shaft, it'll give you a lot of indications. You know, what you'll see is a misdirection. What you can see if you're looking at ball flight, if the flight is too low, the ball's not going to stay in the air and you're going to lose your distance. Consequently, if the ball spins, and the best way to kind of try to visualize that is where the ball starts out low and then goes up like a balloon would go up, filled with helium, where if you let it go, it just kind of goes straight up in the air and falls. So you're kind of looking at those two things, which would make the shaft probably not be right for the player, one of them either being too stiff or one of them being too soft and causing those launch conditions.
The next question is something that's intriguing to me for Miyazaki in, as a general rule, and it comes from Dust Close, and he asks, I don't have a Miyazaki shaft dealer around me, and with the complex flex code, how should I find the right Miyazaki shaft?
Well, I guess that's a very interesting question, Josh, but when you look at it, the flex code isn't really that complicated. What you have is a four-digit code, which is a lot more self-explanatory than any shafts that are in the marketplace at this time, because what it's doing is telling you a general stiffness in reflection to either an RS or an X, but then also where that shaft is stiff. So it's pretty easy from a fitting standpoint to say, okay, I hit the ball too low, so consequently, I would need something that's softer in the tip so it would launch the ball higher and kick it up in the air. Also, you know, the opposite could be true in that, geez, I hit the ball really high. I want to bring the ball flight down. And that way you would go with something that has a higher number in the tip section, which would make it a stiff tip and launch the ball lower. So I don't think it's necessarily all that complicated. The best thing to do would be to go to the Miyazaki website and fire your question on, here's some of my parameters. Here's the loft that I play. Here's the length of driver I play. Here's the shaft I currently use. And here's why I'm not happy with it. What would you suggest, and where would you suggest that I find it? We have, you know, a number of fitters in different parts of the country. Now, there are some remote areas that, you know, may be difficult to find, but we'll gladly help them in any way we can.
And that website is MiyazakiGolfShafts.com, correct?
Yes, it is, Josh.
Thank you. I was just about to ask that.
That's
all right. The next question kind of has to do with the swing speed that you talked about earlier, and this comes from forum member Setho. If your swing speed is on the upper end of, say, a regular flex, but a cooked swing will get you into the stiff category, would a stiff flex shaft be more beneficial during the round than, say, a regular flex because of the tendency to lose it right when the extra distance is needed?
Boy, that's probably the best scenario. I mean, typically what you want to play is the lightest, softest flex shaft that you can control. And the two things that happen is if you get something that's a little bit soft, you may have a little bit trouble controlling it, but you're going to get at a distance. If you get something that's a little too stiff, you're going to hit it a lot straighter, but you're going to give up a little distance. So I think it has to be predicated on the golfer and what they're interested in. Are they control it, and if they hit it wild, it's not off the golf course? Or do they worry more about hitting it in the fairway and go with a little bit stiffer shaft that could control it and keep it in the fairway? And, you know, to add to the matter a little bit, maybe that's something where the tip stiffness in the shaft helps them. So they go a little bit stiffer flex, but they can go with a little bit softer tip to hit it a little bit higher and to keep it from spinning so much.
Is this where the International Flex Code can come into play because you have so many more options for each golfer?
Very much so, Josh. I mean, I think that's where it's absolutely, again, more information than any other shaft that's out there than that can help the average golfer and then all the way up to the touring pro understand what's going on with the shaft.
This is a two-part question from one of the forum members. It comes from OEM Kevin. His question is, does Miyazaki have any plans to get into the hybrid shafts or steel shafts? And what can you tell us about the new Miyazaki lightweight shaft offering? I can't remember the name of it, but I keep reading about it.
Well, let's start with the first one. Yes, our next generation of shafts will include a hybrid shaft. And we're working very diligently to get that, and are actually pretty close to finalizing the spec, and we'll probably be launching that in July.
I want one. No, I'm just kidding.
The other situation is rather intriguing. What we're seeing is, I guess, two things. The philosophy of a lot of the golf companies these days is to go lighter. If you go lighter, you'll go faster. If you go faster, you hit the ball longer. So it's the intention of Miyazaki to create a new series of shafts in the 40-gram category that can be used to reshaft your driver and to get your weight of the overall golf club down under 300 grams. Now, a lot of the overall final weight is going to be predicated on the weight of that head, and that's something that we can't control. But with a 43 or 45-gram shaft, and what this is intriguing is we're going to supply a grip with the shaft, and the grip is going to weigh somewhere in that 40-gram range. So when you look at it, we're going to be taking an ounce of total weight out of the golf club for these golfers when they reshaft it, and that's going to help them hit it further, and that is the next step for the Miyazaki Golf Shaft Company.
And that will, of course, obviously, like we spoke about in the magazine, balance will have a lot to do with that, correct?
Exactly, and that has a lot to do with it because some of the things that are out there do take some of the weight out but then create balance issues or swing weight issues, and we want to make sure we avoid that.
One part in there is, does Miyazaki have any plans for steel shafts?
No, the steel shaft business is so different from the graphite shaft business. It's hard to explain over the phone, but basically you can start a graphite shaft company for somewhere around $1 million and do a really good job and you know, make basic shafts. A company like Miyazaki and maybe some of our competition, Aldila and what have you, spend a lot more than that, but some of the smaller companies get away with doing something like that. A steel shaft company would cost you about $30 million in equipment. And if you envision a steel shaft that sells, let's say, $10 on an average compared to a graphite shaft that sells for $150, you've got, you know, 15 times the investment at 10% of the selling price, and it's very hard to recoup. And so I don't think you'll see any new startup steel shaft companies anytime soon.
Okay. This other question comes from forum member T. Calloway. He said, it seems to me that shafts and the composite materials are evolving more and more every year. How and what do you do to stay ahead of the curve?
Well, I think there's a couple different things. What that person has said is absolutely true, and I think you can look at it from a couple different aspects. The industrial revolution with composites is getting stronger every day. I mean, everybody hears about the airplane applications, and I think a lot of people hear about the automobile applications, but it's coming into appliances. It's coming into just about everything that we deal with on a daily basis. And the weight-to-strength ratio makes it very, very easy for things to be manufactured. Sometimes it's a little expensive, but the longevity of composites versus some of the steels that can rust and things like that is astronomical. So I think the way we keep up with it is we're very close to the composite product manufacturers. And every time they come up with a new formulation, we are there to get some material, turn it into golf shafts and test it and look at it and look at the, again, the values, the weight to strength ratios, but also the economic values, and does it make sense, and is there enough benefit from some of the new materials to use those in shafts that are cost effective? There's some materials out there that we could use right now, but it doesn't increase the benefit to offset the cost of the material.
Okay, that seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wraps up our questions that we got from the forum members. I want to thank everybody for submitting them, and of course thank Tim Gillis for joining us for Miyazaki Golf Shafts, and you can find out more about those at www.miyazakigolfshafts.com. And we're going to be doing this again, of course, so if you have some more questions, send them in, and we will get Mr. Gillis to answer them for us. Anything you want to add, Tim?
Just glad to be part of it, and again, the shaft can be very confusing. Try and learn as much about it as you can, and look at the International Flex Code. And I think if you really try to take that in, you'll understand it, and it'll make a lot of sense when you're trying to get fit for a golf shaft.
We appreciate it. Go ahead, golf.
Oh, I was just going to say the knowledge that I've gained from you is absolutely just incredible. So I just want to personally thank you for teaching me more about shafts, because I didn't really know anything before the magazine article, and I've learned even more today talking to you.
Well, thank you, Golfer Gal and Josh, and anytime. I'd love to help you guys and all of your forum members and readers, and the more the merrier.
I want to thank Tim for coming onto the show with us. He is always such a pleasure to talk to, and like I've said, he just has so much knowledge. It's unbelievable. Well, we've got our grocery lists ready, so we're going to be heading out to the grocery store soon. We'll be cooking all of these recipes this week, and we will announce the winner come next week. And I think that's it for this show, right?
It is pretty much. I'm going to tell all of you guys I hate you all for making me eat all this healthy food.
Oh, come on. There's some not healthy stuff in there.
There is. But more specifically, I want to thank Tim Gillis for coming on. It's always an education, and I look forward to having him on again in a few weeks.
Oh, me too.
He has some things he wants to go over with our forum members as well and our listeners. So for all of us playing from the rough, we hope you're keeping it in the fairway.